So you saw James Harden and Lil Baby were out at Paris Fashion Week, right?
Yeah, I did see that. I saw.
Bro, what the fuck is that shit? And then Lil Baby getting arrested, James Harden out there with him.
Did he really get arrested?
He got pulled over. No, James Harden didn't get it. Okay, let me take that back. James Harden
he did.
Over in the car with him. He was released. Lil Baby was arrested.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Because I seen like him just sitting in like a Sprinter van or something. And it was like cops and stuff.
He was arrested and then he was released. But I know he was
for a week.
Them niggas are riding around in foreign countries with like weight of weed.
This is kind of stupid.
Like, nigga, this is not the U.S.
Like, dog, you got to roll your joints and just at the hotel or something. I don't know. I don't go around with weed. Like, the most I go around weed is from the weed man to my house. Or if I'm bringing some over my girl house, you know, like if I'm staying over. But if I'm going somewhere and I want to smoke, I just roll joints and put them in those little tubes that you can't smell. And that's that. Like, I'm not. And I put that shit like where my spare tire or some shit is. Like, I'm not fucking riding around with weed all willy-nilly, especially not in no other country where I don't know what the laws is and shit like that. Because some of them countries, man, they look at that shit like you fucking Big Meech just for like half an ounce. So I don't play around with that shit. That wasn't smart. But I had seen another video before that where they had walked out of like, I think, a hotel, and like it was all these people and they're like, la baby.
Yeah.
And they just look like, that shit looks so awkward. It's just weird. It was funny though.
I didn't know they was cool like that, because, I mean, they're not really from the same area or nothing. I wonder how James Harden be getting into these circles, man. They meet in a strip club or something? Like,
I was just about to say that, like, James Harden's living room is, like, the strip club, so I could see how him and Meek, Lil Baby, those are the two, Nip, and it might be another rapper. Those are like the ones I always seen Harden with. And he got like chains from them and all this other shit. So that's what I think it's from. But that nigga James Harden, man, he living his best life, dog. That's one thing. That nigga, when he passed, he done lived a life, dog, for sure. He's making the most of that superstar status.
In his basketball career, he's going to have everything. I think he's going to be the number one, you know, example of you can live how you want to live and still be successful. Because, you know, the whole, like, we love Kobe, but the whole mentality, you got to dedicate your life to the game and be the greatest. And, nigga, did I just catch you having fun, nigga? Like, no. Like,
yeah. Yeah, like, I love
the poster child for, look, this nigga was in the club throwing bands.
Listen,
playoff games and then coming back.
Listen, I fuck with it. I understand the Kobe mentality. I understand, like, the LeBron type of approach. Like, we basically only see him sipping, like, wine. Apparently, he's pushing, like, tequila now, I guess. Yeah. But you also got to live life, too. And you can do that and still be in peak shape. You just got to pick your spots, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't suggest a James Harden approach to most people, but it obviously works for him. He knows what he can do. Like, Michael Jordan is a great example. I mean, for most people, he's the best that ever did it. And that motherfucker used to be out gambling, drinking, golfing, playing cards, and then bust your ass. So, I mean, you got to figure out what works for you. But, you know, Kendrick Perkins said, like, during the OKC Miami finals, that he was out at the strip club. He was pretty new to the league. I don't remember what year he was in.
Like, year two, I think. Right. Two or three.
Was it? It probably was three, because then he got traded right after that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he was experienced enough to know. Well, I mean, obviously it works, so right, but you were thinking like year three, you don't really necessarily know what you're capable of with that. Or maybe you do by then. I don't know. But I wouldn't suggest it to a young and up and comer, you know what I'm saying? To go crazy. But then again, we don't know if James be drinking or if he just be out there just throwing money and mingling and stuff. But salute to him living his best life, for real.
Salute to James Harden, man.
Shout out to that, man.
Welcome to episode 77 of the Pickup Podcast. It's your boy Marcus here, co-host Ant. Gonna get at y'all with some Olympics talk. The Rachel racial Nichols debacle going on again. And then, of course, the NBA Finals. So, you know, stick with us. We'll be right back.
Yes, sir. Cute.
Papa was a rolling stone, but now I got rolling stones in the bezel. Ice. Mama at home all alone, hustling, trying to keep this shit together. Mama. Young nigga smoking on gas, I'm living too fast, my foot on the pedal. Woo. If I go back to the past, my niggas ain't know we'll be rocking Coachella. Hey. If a nigga ever try me or play me, I buy him an ice dot shovel. Ice. Dig your own grave, nigga, you played yourself. I put some cash on your schedule. You played yourself. If a bitch ever try to fillet me, huh? Yeah. I just sit back and let her.
She got it.
Think she come up off the chores, whatever. My pockets came with extra cheddar. Go. I can see through the fuck shit. I think that my skills getting better. With a stick, I'm at peace, Mandela. I'm willing to feed whoever. Who? How can I help you? Nobody judge you but God. You can watch us beat the odds.
Beat it.
This ain't no cat, no facade. Young, rich, and black, and we gon' beat the charge.
We gone.
I'm spending cash, no card. I'm liking her natural ass, no fraud. Yeah. If she got a fake ass, of course. Girl, ain't nothing wrong with enhancing this yours. From the back, we enjoy. 100 rack, I'ma tap with my boy. Got the clip poking out, we be showing. Sure. Anybody check out, we be knowing.
All right, so Tokyo 2021 has actually happened. A lot of people didn't know whether it was going to happen because of the pandemic. It already got pushed back a year, and then apparently there's another like state of emergency in Tokyo, but it is going to happen. It's full go, apparently. So we had the United States women's track finals, qualifying finals with Sha'Carri Richardson. Everyone knows that she won, and then she was disqualified for testing.
Why was she disqualified?
Testing positive for cannabis before the qualifier race. And as we all know, it is not a legal substance allowed by the Olympics, but it was legal in Oregon, where she did partake in it. So she did not break any laws per se.
And also, from what I understand, is a reporter told her mom died.
Yeah, she got
and
that.
Then she smoked. Yeah, and then she smoked some gas, and we're here. Now that's unfortunate. That's really unfortunate, and that's really kind of fucked up that a reporter. Maybe the reporter, I didn't see it or whatever, so I don't know if the reporter thought she knew or the reporter just thought it was going to be cool for her to break that news to her. Did you hear anything about, like, how that happened?
Not outside of her own words of just saying that she found out from a reporter when she was asked about it, but...
That's crazy. How does that even happen? Like, a reporter knowing your mom passed...
Before you? I have.
Before you.
I'm lost.
So that's interesting to me. Not really in a good way, but I'm just curious about that. But, you know, black people put their cape on and was like, yo, you know, the Olympics is against black women. They had the whole thing with the swimming caps. I believe it was something else. And then this. For one, I have to tell black people that they're like different entities and all these things that they're complaining about. They're different entities. The U.S. has nothing to do with this. Like, it's an Olympic committee or whatever it's called. I think it's called like IOTA or some shit like that. It's some acronym or whatever. you can look it up and figure it out, whatever. But it's not like the United States can just, you know, like Congress, I think, had like petitioned some shit about it after the fact. But it's too late, dude. Like, if you're going to do that, you should have did that, like, last year or a few years ago as far as getting weed off of there. And I think it's a real thing, but there's so many countries involved that who knows if that will actually happen. But my opinion is it's not a performance-enhancing drug unless you're talking about recovery. So as far as, like, the actual race, nah, it's not. Weed is not helping you do anything physically better. Maybe sex. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's debatable depending on the person, but
so let me ask this, Ann. Yeah, how do you feel about the she knew the rules crowd?
I feel like they sound like, I can't think of the phrase, I definitely tweeted it probably or had it in my drafts. Fuck, They definitely sound like the right wing crowd, though. I can't think of the phrase they like to use. Oh, no, I know the phrase. If you hadn't resisted, they sound like the if you hadn't resisted crowd.
Yeah.
But I do think they're right, too. I didn't say that.
I'll say I don't think, in my humble opinion, that there's any real excuse beyond she just wanted to. And that's what she came out and said. She said, I did it because I wanted to, and left it at that.
Yeah.
If she says she needed, if to me, what it sounds like is she knew the consequences. She did know the rules and she did it anyways. So I take that as she knew the consequences, and she said her mental health and stability in that moment was more important than the Olympics. And I will not fault her for that if that's what she's standing on.
Yeah, and I think she's smart enough to know that coming up with like excuses and stuff, it don't matter what the excuse was, that people, certain people are going to fry her anyway. So she didn't know the rules, but that wasn't my first reaction to it, or my first comment publicly to it, or even my first thought, really. My thought was, and I said this to someone on Twitter, which is, I'm not bitching about she knew the rules or whatever, or those are the rules. I'm bitching about that it's even still a rule. That's my thing, is it shouldn't be a rule.
As far as accepting her punishment, that, because like that's my thing, is not that she did it, right? Because she did it because, like I said, whatever her reasons were, and I'm not one to tell someone what they should or shouldn't do to cope with themselves. But what I am gonna say is, people talking about the punishment was like, that can't be changed, you know, because that's, I don't think there's really an exception to the punishment. It's not like this was an accident or something, like,
or somebody put some stuff in meat, like they were doing those boxers in Mexico.
Well,
none of that shit.
Saying, like, they literally changed the threshold for testing to basically not account for secondhand or even prior use, like weeks and months before, you know, the racing for the Olympics or for the Olympic qualifiers. It was basically to detect. The threshold was basically, well, it had to be like 10 times higher than what it was, because I think it was like 15 nanograms, and now it's like 150.
So yeah, I'm looking at it right now. While you were saying it, in 2013, WADA, that's what it was, not IOTA. Sorry. Yeah. WADA, you can figure out what that means. I don't feel like looking it up. Raised threshold for a positive marijuana test from 15 nanograms per milliliter to 150. Making it harder for athletes who use the drug to get ensnared by the positive test.
So that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's not even like, don't do it.
That's crazy, though.
It's basically, don't do it during the race. And so but, when this happened, we're talking about basically within a day or two. Like the day before, the day of, basically, is when it would have had to have happened. And that's why I kind of, like, not to sound like you know the rules, but like, not you know the rules, is you know the race is like tomorrow. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you know you're getting tested. That's why I'm like, okay, if you knew that and you went along with it, cool. But I'm saying for the crowd out there, she shouldn't have been banned or whatever. It was like, well, I mean, I can't say that because they have done almost everything that they, I think you can possibly do aside from just outlawing the, you know, testing for it, which, but since we all know that that's not what happened, and it's like they basically have given you every leeway up to the point of the race.
So can you, us to bring up Michael Phelps in a second, but because I want to say something. Here's the thing, like, damn, I just had a brain fart. Let me make sure I cut. Shit, fuck! I had a point and I completely fucking forgot it. Fuck.
Well. Okay, let me say that. So my thing with the Michael Phelps thing is, of course, it's the easiest comparison because he's the last high-profile athlete, U.S. athlete, caught doing it, and he's a white man versus a black woman. Easy straw man comparison, in my opinion, because, one, this is, like I said, happened the day before a race. So, yes, she was going to get disqualified from the race that she actually participated in. Two, his was a picture that surfaced online and got, you know, made circulation around every media publication known to man, and he got crucified for it, where she's actually more getting more support from it than anything in her favor. And then three, he was banned. He never actually tested positive because this was out of season. This was in 2009, a whole year after the Olympics. And this was out of season for the Olympics, so no, he didn't miss any Olympic time. But he did get a three-month ban from international competition over the picture. Didn't even test positive. It was just the picture.
Yeah.
I remember who was a user, photograph user, took precautions to not actually test during season. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm saying. It's not comparable at all, besides just black man or black woman versus white man.
All right, I remember what I was going to say now, and I'll definitely address that. Someone made this point, and I think it might be true. If she had won a bunch of medals already, and we knew her like we knew Simone Biles, maybe they would swept it under the rug. Maybe they would have had that power, because the anti-doping agency, that's what that shit is, right?
Yeah.
We know there's some shit that happens in boxing and shit like that they're involved in, and they probably let shit escape. But she's not a known person. I didn't know about her until like right before this. Like, I think I'd heard about her when she ran, but I didn't know about her. And I don't think most people did. And I think you're lying for the most part if you say you did know about her. You know what I'm saying? A casual fan. Like, how often is really track and field on? And it's really at the forefront for the Olympics, and that's it for the most part. Unless you're a Michael Johnson back in the day. Unless you're Usain Bolt, people like that, no one's really paying attention to you until around the Olympics. So I think, yeah, maybe she would have got leniency or got favors if she was a known. Like, if this was, like, the next Olympics, like, she would have killed this one and then the next Olympics, then maybe they would have, you know, hooked her up. But and this that's crazy.
Even that comment is that they lowered – the minimum offense, like, because the minimum used to be 3 months. They lowered it to 1 month. She got 1 month. She got the minimum that you could get as far as a punishment. She just picked the absolute worst. She picked worst a month before to do it. So it's hard to, you know, it's just the hardest, like, to me, timing that she did, that all this happened. Obviously, she can't control that she found out her mother died at that. But that's what I'm saying. It's like she, in her mind, this is the way I'm taking it. She prioritized. She said, look, I'm going through it right now, and I need this more than I need the Olympics.
Yeah. I feel for the girl, especially Olympic, like, athletes who kind of make their bread through the Olympics. Because she has, well, luckily, she only has to wait 3 years. That luckily. Too. And who knows what would have happened if she went anyway? Because right now, like, what's the girl named Coco Gauff, the tennis player, black girl? She's like 15. She just caught COVID. They moving people. There's people catching that shit over there. It's all kind of crazy shit. They should have never had this Olympics to begin with, to be honest.
Yep.
Like, honestly, like, they were talking about the whole NBA scene was predicated on the Olympics. Because I thought they should have started a Martin Luther King birthday and just made it a longer season. And just figured it out, you know what I'm saying? But instead, they were like, well, the Olympics is coming up. Fuck the Olympics. Fuck out of here. I don't care about Olympics like that. Like, I'll watch, like, track and field. And that's probably about it, man. To be honest, I'll catch the highlights and shit, but that's about it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'll watch basketball. I'll watch swimming. And even in track, I'm really only watching the 100 and 200 and then the relays, the 100 and 200. So I'm not sitting there watching all day long every event. You know what I'm saying? Like, and for everything else, I just catch highlights. And they're in Tokyo now. And so
it's during the day.
And I ran on, I think it was next Sunday at like 1 a.m. for us. So, like, no, I'm not sitting up watching that. A lot of these are going to be catching highlights because it's like 12 hours off from us or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And, we can get to the boycott and then take, but it's like people saying they're going to boycott it. There's some black women specifically that are like, yo, we running too. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I don't think anyone's taking shots at her. Like, you know, we were clean or anything like that, but they have a point. So you just, all for one person, you're not going to support them. You know what I mean? Like, and if we're being real, a lot of y'all weren't going to watch the Olympics anyway. Like, for real. Like, swimming is also one to it for me as well. And basketball, you know. But I always assume we're going to be whooping that ass. And obviously, that's not really the case this year. But so I catch it when I catch it type shit. And it's on during the day most of the time anyway. So you, whether you're at work, whatever the case, a lot of people aren't catching this shit live anyway. So I just think people need to stop with the fake outrage. Like, come on, man. It's, yeah. And we got to make sure as a people that it's already hard for us in our battles. We got to pick our battles wisely, man. Pick the battles that you can stand on, man. You can't really stand on like a battle where someone knew the rules, says they knew the rules, decided to break the rule, and then you're like, yo, like if you want to say, like I said, if you want to say that shouldn't be in there, fine. I'm with you on that. And they should definitely be lowering that shit back because that seems like specifically targeted at Black people. Because, and I only say that because of how sports is in our country. Don't know how it is in other countries, but in the sports where Black people and brown people dominate, well, let's say Black people dominate, they go out of their way to test for weed. It's crazy. It's stupid. We shouldn't even be testing for weed anymore in these sports in our country at all. So that's kind of my take on that. You got anything else on this one?
No, but I do want to pivot this, talk about the Olympics to the United States Olympic team, basketball. Last week, they came out and played Nigeria in an exhibition game and lost. And, of course, there's a lot of comparisons to the 2016 Nigeria team that we beat by 47 or something of that nature in exhibition. And then they came and lost to Australia the game after that, starting off 0-2. And I can't remember the last time in – outside of 2000 and
was that six?
Four?
Oh, Ellen? Four. My bad. I'm tripping.
Yeah. But yeah, it's not looking like a roster that, or they're still missing Chris Middleton, Jrue Holiday, and Devin Booker, who are still in the finals right now. Obviously, we'll get to that soon.
I think that will matter. But
yeah. But, you know, we got guys like Damian Lillard, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal. Since pulled out
COVID.
Yeah, so we're talking about people that your top, some of your top, I think that's like some of your top five, six scorers in the NBA from this past season. I know KD doesn't play enough games, but he was up there and at least in the top 10 scoring. And I think those COVID rules, not COVID rules, those FIBA rules are messing everybody up because, you know, the defense over there, they're allowed to kind of linger in the paint. You know what I'm saying? They're allowed to hit the ball.
Goaltending is allowed.
Like that, you know, they're allowed to hand check. They're allowed, you know, a whole lot more contact.
Real basketball. Real fucking basketball.
I mean, that's why, you know, people always talk about the European guys coming over here and dominating now. I think it's because we've gotten to a point where it's really a easier game over here than it was over there. It wasn't the case before.
That's a fact. That's a fact, dude. They've always been skilled, even their big men, and they're just catching up, man. From my understanding, Nigeria, for one, they're coached by Mike Brown, and he's dedicated to that program. Like, it's a program. Like, it's not like here, because it's a big deal for them, and we're just expected to win. And for one, the players, they're kind of in a fucked up position where if you don't win, if you win, it's like you're supposed to win and there's really no praise. And if you lose, you're getting killed. And they play together all the time. And in the summer, they have continuity. You know what I'm saying? They're familiar with each other. And so, yeah, man, that's why we're going to ask whoop. And I won't be surprised if we keep on. And then the roster was weak. But it's understandable that the good guys didn't want to play because of the season and shit and last season. So, and all the injuries and stuff. So, I didn't expect it, but it does make sense why it's happening. So,
well, that is just comp looking at the competition and comparing it, outside of the obviously the whole roster, official roster is NBA players. Nigeria has the second most. They have 8 NBA players. And I don't know if they if their guidelines changed or if they were able just to convince more people, but you know, the lineage connection to Nigeria for their roster is a little bit more it's a little looser, you know, like Jahlil Okafor's on the team because his I think his grandfather's Nigerian, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's born and raised over here in America. He's an American citizen, but, you know, he was given access to that team. So they're getting players like that, you know?
It's about to be like AAU ball, man.
I mean, they have 8 NBA players. That's the second most of any team in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And then we lost Australia, who has 7. You know what I'm saying? And I think that makes a difference. Guys that are, you know, competitive, you know, competitively playing in the highest league in the world, they have the confidence to go against these guys. It's like they see these guys every day at work. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Plus, so you got your boy.
The whole they don't feel like they're not supposed to win. They're like, oh yeah. No, these guys playing the same league that I play in, and now I'm getting the minutes that I feel like I could be getting over there.
This ain't the dream team days where they're asking for Michael Jordan's fucking wristband while they're playing and shit. Yeah, like they're not impressed anymore. And they're not scared. And you got guys like Patty Mills who are average players in the NBA busting your ass. Joe, I don't know if this is a freedom thing. Like, it's more freedom to do shit, familiarity with their teammates or what. But he been balling the last Olympics from what I understand.
He did.
So it's going to get interesting. I like it, though. I like it because I wouldn't probably tune in but for a few minutes. They were busting people's ass by 30, 40 points. Now I'm going to try to tune into some games, if you know, and all that good stuff. It was an overreaction because they are exhibition games. And they some of those other teams, not only had they been practicing on the other summers, but a lot of those guys had just started, just had their offseason. The NBA guys for us just had their offseason starting a few weeks ago, and then they just got together like not too long before the exhibition game. So they got good coaches on our squad. So hopefully they get them together. It might be the best thing for them to go ahead and lose some exhibition games and shit. So
I mean, but man, did you like see the Spain game last night? They so they played Spain last night, and it's kind of
they won.
Pau Gasol returned to play for them, 41 years old, and put out, you know, 8.5 rebounds, 2 assists in like 17 minutes. He was out there, you know, working the block like he did, you know, I mean, like again, in sparing minutes, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it just looks bad. The optics are bad.
Yeah. Rubio had like 25 or something like that too, didn't he?
Yeah, Rubio was cooking. Marc Gasol, who everyone wrote off during the regular season with the Lakers, was out there hooping. You know what I'm saying? Willie Hernan Gomez was hooping. There's guys that, you know, that, you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it's just guys that you think, you know, you would not think twice of in the league, but they're over here like, no, I play in the league and I want to show why. And I don't in against those guys because, I mean, they see these guys, you know, all the time. They play these guys 82 games a year. They're not scared of them. And I think that we, as especially as fans of, you know, basketball, take it for granted seeing how dominant the U.S. has been. You know, like, we had a team with a starting lineup of, like, Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, LeBron, Carmelo, and Dwight Howard. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
That's just some crazy shit. I don't think we have necessarily that kind of lineup this year. So, yeah, we can't. We're vulnerable.
Yeah, man. They got to figure out, like, Melo was, like, the guy on one of those teams. I think it was the Redeem team. And it's not always like the best player in the NBA is going to be the star in the Olympics and stuff. So, you know, as they play more, they figure out who that guy is, and everyone has to be unselfish, man, and just play their role. Almost everyone's a star because we got some shaky dudes on there, like Keldon Johnson. I've never even heard of him until now. For real. Never heard of him. And they had JaVale McGee. Say it again.
I don't know if he's going to be on the final roster or not.
Yeah.
Once those up, I'm back.
JaVale McGee. Like, come on, we couldn't get anybody better than those two guys to come. Like, for real, like, this is an honest question. You telling me, like, not even, like, another all-star or on-the-fence all-star wanted to go? Like, that's crazy. But I'm guessing they didn't because I feel like they wouldn't go to. Think about
recently, how many all-stars have been international players, man? It's a lot.
Oh, yeah. That's why they do that, the World versus U.S. for, like, the was the rookie-sophomore game?
Yeah. Like, you think of, like, if we're talking about big men, like, if I go off, like, list the top three big men in the league right now, probably saying the MVP, Joe Embiid, and Giannis. That is three. You know what I'm saying? That's three dudes. And then Anthony Davis hurt. You know what I'm saying? So it's like the U.S. talent is – the gap has definitely been bridged between the world and the U.S.
And we don't have that many, like, traditional big men. And when we do, they're from other countries. You just named two of them.
Another all-star was Bam Adebayo. He's already out there that I can think of.
Is Bam? Oh, he's on the team?
Yeah, that's why I was saying it looks real
surprised.
It looks real bad when Pau Gasol is getting 8 points and five rebounds because Bam Adebayo is out there.
The fuck I'm surprised Bam? He's not playing for wherever he's from.
Nigeria?
Is he Nigerian? Yeah.
That's why he was taking pictures with him after the game. He was like, ah, my bad, guys.
Yeah, that's like when you, like, in a new hood and you against your old hood or something, like, or your old high school or something. It's like, dog, if we gonna lose to somebody, I mean, shout out to the guys, my old guys. But, yeah, man, it'd be interesting to see. I'm kind of happy about it, though. It brings some interest to it, for real, for me, at least.
I'm not saying this is a negative thing for – but then again, when other time do we actually hard claim the U.S.? Not even really. So
no, definitely no black people do until like the Olympics.
So I mean, like it, at the end of the day, it is what it is. It makes for better basketball.
And a side note is, I want one of them jerseys, but they got to win. They got at least get a medal placement for me to cop one because I actually like those jerseys. They look kind of cool to me.
The blue ones?
Yeah, like them. Well, that's that on that. I'm getting the Rachel Nichols.
Man, fuck that bitch. But, yeah, actually, that's – okay, so actually I really want to talk about that more than I want to talk about the NBA Finals.
Okay. We'll end it with the NBA Finals. We'll end it with the NBA Finals. So, a few weeks ago, audio leaked. Rachel Nichols talking to a representative of hers, and I want to sum it up is she basically was saying she is in her contract that she does sideline reporting for NBA Finals, and they gave it to Maria Taylor, and she was like
sideline report. It was hosting.
Was it hosting? Okay, you know what? Let me let you set it up because I actually didn't listen to the audio. This is all secondhand and shit. I never listened to the audio.
No, so from what I heard in the audio is she was complaining to an associate of hers about having being asked to take the sideline reporter role that normally is Doris Burke, I think. And they were like, well, you want Doris' job instead? Because I think we want to give the NBA Countdown is the name of the host show. And I was like, yeah, I think because we're going to move NBA Countdown to Maria Taylor. And she was like, well, no, that's like, you're only doing this because Black Lives Matter. This is in the bubble, by the way, the NBA bubble play and whatnot. So we're talking about that, where they had the Black Lives Matter on the court and all that stuff. And she was saying, well, you know, it's really just because them in your own shitty history of
diversity.
And she said, which I know of from the woman's side of it, but you're not going to come in. She said, if you want to give her more work, give her more work somewhere else, but don't come take my thing because I earned this and it's in my contract. She threw it at the end. So that's.
Yeah, let's break that down.
Oh, what was said. But
And then immediately, including myself, you know, black people was like, fuck her. You know, we thought, as they say about us, she was one of the good ones. You know, Beyonce stopped to hug her and shit during the finals. So we thought she was one of the good ones. But after hearing like everything, I am not sure. And I'm going to tell you why, because I know a lot of people will definitely be like, yo, you're caping for a white woman. And I'm definitely not. All right. And I heard like other people's perspective of it and stuff like that. And so it brought me to this. You can look at it, and it really depends on – I never listened to the audio, so maybe that's something, because how people say things matters too. And maybe if I knew her, but I don't, you know what I mean? If I had something guaranteed in my contract, I absolutely would want it. And Rachel Nichols didn't just start doing this shit. She didn't just start at the doing the jump. She had been at ESPN, went to CNN, came back, or been at TNT, I believe, doing sports. So she's definitely got more years in. Doesn't mean you deserve it because you got more years in, but I just want everyone to know that. Maria Taylor's done a lot of stuff in like the last 5 years that I've seen personally. And that's just what I've seen. So there's no telling all the stuff that she's done aside from that. You know, ESPN does have a shitty history of that, but most corporations do, you know, and I'm not caping for them either. I'm just stating facts. Now, when it comes down to what she said, if she's saying that Maria Taylor, if her intent or her spirit of what she said is saying that Maria Taylor is only getting that position because she's a black woman, then she's trash. Now, if she's saying ESPN is doing this because they're fucked up in diversity and spotlight's on them, then I don't have a problem with that.
And I don't have a problem. Second one is what was meant, but people heard her say she's a black woman and left it at that. That's my.
And honestly, I don't think I could tell anyone how to take that.
Well, I think if you're taking, so there's two problems with this. One is this was being circulated in clips, not the full thing. People see clips and they're not looking for the whole thing. Like, I see a clip, I look for the whole thing. Other people see clips and they take the clip and that's their opinion. And that's a lot of people, like millions of people when it comes to the internet. So they see something in passing and they're like, oh yeah, she said, well, they're giving this to her. They're giving her this jump because she's a black woman and they feel like they have to. And they're like, no, it's not because if she would have said anything, she would have just left out. To me, if she wouldn't have said those two words together, black woman, I think she would have caught a lot less heat. Because to me, it was amazing that she got all the heat that I think ESPN should be getting. This is ESPN's problem. ESPN is the one that forced this situation, trying to give up Doris Burke's job for Rachel Nichols in order to make, because I don't know if you remember, but I said it immediately when they opened up the bubble. I was like, damn, now ESPN got all black faces on the countdown show. It was Jay Williams, Jalen Rose, and Maria Taylor. And I was like, that shit wasn't an accident. And of course, I said that just like in passing. I had no idea all this shit was going on behind the background, but it was noticeable, like clearly noticeable. It was a concerted effort. Put more black people on the front of the face.
Let me jump in before I forget this point, because the woman that told Maria Taylor about it, she got reprimanded and now she's moved on to other places because then they started treating her like shit, giving her shittier positions. I can't remember her name, but y'all can look it up. You can do your Googles and look it up. Sorry. I had to say that before I forget that shit.
Wait, which woman that told her that?
So there was a woman who was like in production, like a producer or whatever.
Yeah.
She found out about the recording and sent it to Maria Taylor or let her know about it. A year ago. So she knew about this already. Maria Taylor knew about this already.
Right.
This wasn't like news to her or anything. And that woman, that's just going to the whole ESPN thing, because I'm about to get into that too. ESPN is definitely at fault for this. If you want to say Rachel Nichols at fault too, cool. I'm not going to argue with you about it. I think you could be right. But who's the bigger boogeyman in this is ESPN, because they have bad management. For you to put in someone's contract, if that's the case, Rachel Nichols should sue them. It's kind of hard to sue.
That's not the optics that they can go for, because she can't sue for – I don't think if the optics – she would lose a lot more on her credibility at her job and just in the media field, because that's how shit's viewed, if she did that over a black woman getting her job. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I say that, but if she sued and she won, it whatever money she got, it wouldn't be worth the hit she's going to take professionally.
Yeah.
Right? But what I would sue for, if I was her, is what I told Marcus before the show, which is it wasn't a Zoom meeting that she forgot to turn off her camera. From what I understand, I got this from Amina Hassan talking about it on Dan Lepitar's show, is whatever program or company or whatever it is that sets up when you see people at their house, you know, especially during the pandemic, and they got a camera and all that set up and whatnot, whatever that is, that device can be turned on by ESPN, according to Amina Hassan. It can be turned on, which is crazy, for one, that they have that capability.
Yeah.
And two, someone did that. Someone did that. It wasn't that she left it on or anything like that. Someone turned her shit on, recorded it, and then circulated that shit. And that's a privacy violation like a motherfucker. And I have a problem with that because we don't talk the same way in public that we talk at our homes, and especially if you're a public figure. So you should have the right. I don't care what you're saying at home. If you're saying racist shit, you should have the right to say that at home and it not get out. Unless you're being wiretapped or some shit for some illegal shit or whatever, you should be able to say shit in private conversations, in private settings, and be good. So I have a problem with that and how that's not being highlighted either. But I get why it wasn't at the time, because people were on the racial tip. And I get that, but I think sometimes we need to stop being so blinded, because this racist shit going on every day, all the time. All the time. And if we stopped at everything that was racist, we wouldn't get shit done. If we stopped consuming stuff that had some kind of racial stuff behind it or whatever, we would never wear shit. We would never eat shit. We would never go do shit. We would never drive anywhere. You know what I'm saying? So that's something I think needs to be talked about a little bit. You can definitely talk about how you feel about Rachel Nichols. And like I said, I'm not going to stop anyone or debate anyone on that, because it's really on how you perceive it or how you want to perceive it, to be honest. But there's also other things that play, like privacy issues. That's a problem, dude, where someone can fucking do that. And I would, if I was her, I would have sued for that. Or like when I leave, sue their ass or whatever. Yeah. Because that's fucked up. And that put her in a fucked up position. Whether you think she deserves it or not.
Speaking of leaving, that's the other thing that I had a small issue with this coming out. So Maria Taylor's contract is supposed to be ending after the finals with ESPN. Allegedly, because of all this going on, she wasn't going to come back. She was going to, you know, look for more money from ESPN, which she wanted like Stephen A. Smith money. Allegedly.
Oh, no.
Allegedly.
That's probably ESPN playing some bullshit.
And that's why I'm getting ready to go with it, because it's like she's leaving. And they say she's agreed, allegedly, with NBC Sports after the finals are done. I think it's the underground report or whatever said. It's not official, obviously. She's still at ESPN right now doing the finals. Yeah, we're talking about, like, this is some bullshit that's been brewing up all year long, and it just so happens to come out right before she's getting ready to leave. That's why I say I think, like, I don't know how this happens, but all this, I think someone at ESPN was like, we're going to get ahead of the jump of why she left this, that, and the third. And I think ESPN just lost all the heat by putting that out. And I'm not saying Rachel Nichols is right, because, I mean, like you said, when you say some shit like that, it don't, especially when you're talking about who you're talking to. Because the other thing that people took offense to was, I don't know who the guy was talking to, but he was like, yeah, between BLM and Me Too, he's like, had my hands full or something like that, because I don't know what to do anymore. And she was like, ha ha, right?
And she laughed. I believe it was a CAA rep. And for people that don't know, CAA is like the fucking McDonald's of agencies or whatever.
Right. So we're talking about, obviously, that's two, you know, very serious real world issues that are hot, mm-hmm. Buzzwords. And, you know, she's laughing about it. And so, you know, we're talking about someone that she's laughing at BLM sentence. Come and then on. Go on air and give a soliloquy of how Black Lives Matter and the movement, the players were doing this, that, and the third. Can both be true? I don't know. Because, like you said, in private versus on camera, sometimes a little dichotomy there. But I feel like exposing that took all the heat off of ESPN, the company, the management. And then in turn, what do? In order to save themselves, they made themselves the good guy and put Malika Andrews on there. Like, I was like, how the fuck you played at that masterfully as a company?
With her fine ass.
With her ass. Like, that shit, like, I don't know, man. I just felt like a whole lot of that stuff happened too easily for ESPN to turn around and look like the good guy in the end doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck ESPN.
They were like, I saw a lot of people celebrate Malika Andrews, which they should. I love Malika Andrews, you know, her reporting.
I'm surprised people aren't like, well, she's half white. You know what I'm saying? I'm surprised they ain't go there.
Because some people be going there. I don't even know that, to be honest.
Yeah, I just scrolled her Instagram one time and I seen that and I was like, okay. Yeah. I was over at Thurston one time and I was like, oh, she's half white. Okay. All right, cool. Cool story. Yeah, man. That's really all I got to say about that, man. Just, I guess, if you want to be mad, hey, you got the ammunition to be. If you want to look at it nuanced, and I'm on some, like, I don't know.
But mad at the right thing. That's my thing. Like, if you're going to be mad, like, there are things to be mad at, but just put that energy in the right place. Like, we're being mad at Rachel Nichols because she said a black woman took her spot. And I was like, well, no, in my opinion, this is my interpretation. I don't think she's saying a black woman took my spot, now I'm mad. I think she's saying I'm supposed to do this and we get all the way up to this, and because of cultural pressures, ESPN is doing this to save face and they're doing it over my head.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happened to anybody, I would have a problem. If it happened to me versus some other issue, right? So take race. I hate saying that, take race out, because obviously that's what makes it. The whole thing is centered around the Black Lives Matter movement being at the forefront. So you can't really take race out of it. But in another scenario, say like what they're trying to, okay, so like this kind of ties in but doesn't, but I'm going to make this connection anyway. So what they're talking about with Giannis right now and, quote, xenophobia in the NBA, right, of him being a foreign player.
Mm-hmm.
If someone else were to say, hey, you know what? We're not going to give Giannis MVP because we need an American to do it. We're going to give Chris Middleton, right? And Giannis is like, no, I work for that. I earned that, regardless of where I'm from. Is Giannis, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Okay, I see what you did there. I like it.
That's a very,
I like that.
It's a very loose connection, but that's what I'm saying. Like, in any other scenario that wasn't based on black white, if someone was doing something over your head that wasn't necessarily your fault, are you going to be upset about it? Yes, probably. Are you gonna be like, well, you know what, shit, I understand, let me give up my spot to someone else and they can run with it? Because, you know, like, once they do some shit like that, they're not doing it and then going back.
Yeah, you know what, I love, I wish we had Cam on today for this, just for this, because I would love to hear if what we said, how we framed it, if she would agree with it, if it's framed that way and presented to her that way, as opposed to how it was presented to most of us when we first saw it. Because I did tweet something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but, oh, I think it was like something to the effect of, and I just seen the article, the headline, and so that was my fault too. I should know better by now, but I think I said something along the lines of, like, you know, you never, like, kind of know what's in, like, white people's heart. You know what I'm saying? And it really, when stuff like this, at least how it was perceived when it happens, it really is disappointing for me, because I might not currently have people that I call white friends, but I have some white associates.
Yeah.
And I have a dude at work that I fuck with, you know, who you wouldn't think I would hang out with or anything like that. And I want to believe that there's good, genuine people, white people out there. Like, for real. Like, to the core. But sometimes it's hard, man. And sometimes it's hard to trust. And I'm not going to be your black friend that takes up for you against the black mob. Like, I'm not going to be that for you. Unless I know you're solid. Like, you better be solid.
Yeah, it just,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, any other, like, I'd apply, like, would someone be wrong in any other situation? Like, are they just wrong, or is it framed wrong? You know what I'm saying? Like, because sometimes you're framed to where, okay, you don't say this in this situation because this looks wrong. Regardless of whether you're right or wrong yourself, it looks wrong. And I think that's where we get, you know, especially in the media, you know, there's things that just look wrong, so you don't do or say that. And so I'm like, okay, if this was, okay, so perfect example, ESPN also, Stephen A. Smith said what he said about Shohei Ohtani.
And the Nigerians, too, right after that. Yeah. Let's talk about that real quick, like real quick.
Stephen A. was tripping, but I also know he sleeps like 3 hours a week, so he don't be in his right mind half the time. So, but yeah. Yes.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm saying he told, talking about Shohei Ohtani, he was like, can he be the face of the MLB? And he was like, no, he doesn't speak English well enough. Now, if they wanted to replace Stephen A. Smith with, you know, because that, you know, obviously that's offensive to just in general the immigrant community, but specifically the Asian community because he's Japanese. And then on top of that, there's been a whole bunch of, you know,
coronavirus,
you know, directed at just Asians in general. It doesn't even have to be Chinese, just Asians in general getting shit from that, right?
Because we know most Americans can't tell the difference.
Exactly. So if ESPN turned around and said, hey, look, the optics are bad, we're going to replace you with Mina Kimes. He's gonna be like, why? No, I'm being serious. If like, and I love Mina Kimes. Like, she's one of my favorite, you know, NFL people.
Yeah, she's fire.
I'm talking about, like, analysis and shit. Like,
yeah, no, I'm serious. Reggie's the one that has the lust up for her, but shout out to Reggie.
But I'm saying, like, if they were to do some shit like that, and then be like, well, and he like, man, they're only doing this because of the uproar of this. Is he wrong for saying that? If it's actually what happened, no, but you don't say it. But if it's actually what happened, it was like, if I bring that back to Rachel Nichols, the better thing was happening.
Another example.
Yeah.
Another example. You're right. I feel like you're right. Now, other people have their own opinions or their anger might not let them see it that way, but I think you're right, man. Like, if it was that or the Giannis thing, absolutely. But I have a problem with Stephen A, and I heard this on Joe Budden's podcast, so I will say that. And he was like, yo, he did that Asian shit, and before the end of the day, he had a fucking apology up. He did that Nigerian shit right after that. I don't know if he apologized. I think he might have, but I don't know if it was as eloquent or whatever. But they were saying it's because of all the Asian hate, so he probably got pressure for power to be to go ahead and put that out immediately. And then they circulated through all the ESPN socials and all that good shit. They made sure to do that, but that's because Asian people are valued more in this country than Black people. So, and in the world. So there's that. And I have a problem with that.
There's a lot of things that's going on where I think the conversation becomes too narrow.
And too divided. Too
tuned in on, okay, this is what's happening here, and it's happening this way. You have to see it. And if you don't see it this way, you're part of the problem. And I think that is true on a very small handful of occasions. And the times that it is true, it gets extrapolated into other times when it's not true. And that's where people get into, I don't know, there's not enough nuance, I think, in some things.
Yeah.
Because there's certain things that I don't think deserve nuance. Like, it's like, okay, that shit happened. Like, because even that same thing when you're talking about the Donald Sterling thing, I don't think that deserves nuance. It's you sitting here talking about, I pay these niggers and shit like that. I give them their lives. They're no freedom without me. They be you say shit like that. Like, no, there's no leeway around that. Like, that is what it is. And it sucks that his, you know, privacy was violated by that woman recording him. Right. But like, what it is, I don't think there's any like way around that. But something is like, well, ESPN has a shitty history of diversity. And now they're putting a Black woman up on my job, even if she is a good one, a great one, that on her own merit would, okay, my opinion, I think she could get it on her own, right? But they chose why now to do it, right?
Yeah, me too.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's weird to me that I think that that whole context gets missed. But I also know some of that is intentional because, like I said, the way it's being circulated isn't circulated with the full story or with the full clip even. Like, you hadn't even heard the full clip.
Yeah,
had to go.
And that's,
But I don't know. That's a little beyond sports. That's life, the world. People don't read, so there's that too.
Yeah, sorry, I got distracted by girls. Send me some shit. But anyway, it's cool. But it was something else I was about to break up, man. But my memory's been crazy. You know, I don't know if it's the weed or the age, but yeah. But yeah, man, I think that was good, man. I feel like we had a nuanced conversation, and we supplied y'all with all the different angles and the information, how to look at it, and you could decide for yourself how you really feel and not some reactionary, just, you know, reactionary shit like most of us were doing that day that it came out. So there's that.
And at me on Twitter and tell me I'm tripping. I will discuss.
Yeah. We'll just. I can stand on, like, I don't know. It depends on how you look at it. I can stand on that. So, NBA Finals. Game six, what, tomorrow night? Tuesday night,
game six.
The Larry O'Brien Trophy will be in the building. Nigga. It's that lemon booty. It about to tighten up for the Suns game six, boy. Giannis has validated those MVPs, trophies, this playoffs. This man's knee was like 8 feet behind him, like just like 2 weeks ago or some shit. It's crazy that he can even play, let alone play the way he has. So I think there's people being stupid saying he's the best player in the world. He's not. That's Kevin Durant now, in my opinion. Kevin Durant's the best player in the world. I don't think you can sit here and fucking argue that LeBron James is the best player in the world anymore. I don't care if he was hurt or whatever. He's not anymore. It's KD. And then maybe it's...
For 3 years.
And then maybe it's someone else. Then maybe it's someone else, and then maybe it's like Giannis somewhere in there. What do you think about the last game? Is Devin Booker a superstar now that he's not getting called for obvious fouls to get fouled out the game?
There's like two ways that I think you can view that. One is the fix is on, right? They're trying to extend the series and keep the stars in the game. The other one is it's playoff basketball, and the way I've been seeing both ways in the last like 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, they're not calling body contact fouls on drives to the basket. In the lane, they're letting niggas get away with anything because niggas were still crying. They were still getting their tweets off crying about Devin Booker in game 4 in Milwaukee, and Chris Paul went and got obliterated by Giannis in the paint, and they didn't call anything. The next session down, and no one said anything. And I was like, well, they're just not calling shit now. Because I guess that's what they – I know, you know, you don't want the refs, quote-unquote, to decide the game, like, with a bunch of calls at the end. Let niggas play it out. But shit, in the last game, game 5, Chris Middleton was coming down getting bodied like fuck by Bridges and Crowder. Like, he was like – they came off on the screen, and he got bodied up. And, like, any other time in the game, like, probably in the third quarter, that's a body foul, right? A blocking foul. And I'm talking about, like, Chris Middleton almost knocked himself. You know what I'm saying? The way he got, like, walled up. And he turned around, gathered himself, hit a step-back fadeaway over him. And they're like, no, niggas just played through it. So, yeah. Niggas going to have 4 or 5 fouls. And, obviously, when you have 4 and 5 fouls, you're counting at that point, right? You're looking for niggas to foul out. So, it's worse when niggas are looking. But me, personally, I like it better that way. It's more reminiscent of the old NBA basketball that we've, you know, seen. Well, that I have seen in the, you know, 2000s and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm the old head on the show, and I'm always gonna be with more so 90s basketball. I'm not really with the hand check and shit because I feel like that's not skill. That's just you putting your weight on someone and shit. But I am with the hard fouls, the earn your shit, with the playground basketball of like we ain't just calling anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, it shit needs to affect your shot for real. And I'm so sick of these motherfuckers looking for calls all the fucking time and shit. Like, that shit is annoying as hell. That's where they got grown men crying.
In the to go back to that, like, for a hot second, that game against Australia, they only shot 12 free throws, the whole team, for the game. Damn. And you got guys that are averaging 12 free throws a game.
Yeah.
And they're out here, you know, like guys like Damian Lillard. It was like the first or second possession. Drove to the basket, got mildly, he mildly stumbled, and then leaned his body in, bumped, and then threw the ball up and hit the backboard. And then the ref is just looking at him like, nigga, what the fuck you doing? And I'm like, that shit needs to happen more often.
Dame, you need to fucking take your mom back to fucking Oakland, East Oakland, wherever the fuck part of Oakland you from, and think about that shit. All right? I don't know how they come into that play, and maybe they're just so used to it. Because they play pickup ball, and they ain't getting no NBA calls, so I don't understand how when y'all go over there, pop, or even y'all just knowing, be like, yo, y'all not going to get these fucking bitch-ass calls. Like, stop being a bitch, play all the way through this shit, and if you get a call, great. If you don't, keep it moving, dog.
But like, I think for real. Coaching, too, going back to the finals. Coaching, you're supposed to be able to recognize, look, this is how the game's being called late. Mm-hmm. Late in the game, we're not driving, hunting fouls. Late in the game, we're going to be looking for our shots, which are, you know, getting, if you're the Suns, you know, you're looking for Chris Paul on a pick and roll with Ayton, hit that mid-range fader that he either hits or dumping down or kicking out to either Crowder or Bridges. Or you're getting Devin Booker basically in the ISO and letting him fucking cook. You're not letting Devin Booker go all the way down to the paint, because I think that's what he did. He went down to the paint, tried to pump fake and get a bump foul, didn't get it, got stuck because Giannis came over and doubled, and Drew Holiday came behind and ripped him.
Ripped his ass.
He's down there hunting for a call that he's not going to get.
Yeah, you can't be doing that shit. Not on that play, dude. You got to – dude, man.
Make shots. Holiday, man. The refs are doing. Make niggas make shots.
Yes, I'm with it. Drew Holiday, man, he came up big some moments on that game. He's been struggling. And he's been D'ing up Book a lot. He's killing. He's doing pretty good on Book. And he doesn't even need to be on CP3 anymore, because I think CP3 is – I think he's got lingering COVID effects. On top of all the different injuries he's got, and he's 36, and he hasn't played this deep in a season ever. So I think I'm going to give him a pass on this, even though I know the internet won't. If I think in this next game, if CP3 doesn't come out looking like himself, because even if you look at his numbers, they were still, like, decent last game. But if you saw the game, you know that – decent ain't getting the job done in the finals, and it's not what he was doing last. So I think it was last series.
Well, yeah, I think the biggest difference between this series and last series is one, that pick and roll after game one, they've been having Giannis switch. Giannis is the switch man.
He can keep up with that nigga.
No, like Giannis is like forcing him like that mid range. He hit one that was a little closer to the basket, and I'm actually surprised he hit. It was actually a clutch basket late in the fourth quarter, game five. He like leaned fucking horizontally and reached back and got that rainbow shot over Giannis. But he's not getting that little mid-range fader that he's normally getting ever since, I think it was after game two, where Giannis is now switching off of Ayton on that roll. But he's getting he's starting the possession on Ayton, switching around, and then he's basically guarding, because you know Giannis is long as shit. He's guarding the whole like free throw line.
Yeah, isn't me or his D
getting the ball up earlier in the shot clock, and he's not, you know, masterminding it. And that's why Devin Booker, and that's why I said a couple days before that on Twitter, I was like, when you take CP3 out of rotation, you force Devin Booker and whoever else to become chuckers. Now Devin Booker has become a chucker. He's shooting like about 33 times a game the last couple of games, but he's fucking making them now. Basically, as a defense, you're saying I'll take my chances on Devin Booker shooting 50%. With Chris Middleton or Drew or whoever on him. He's just doing it right now because he's fucking amazing.
I got to shout out Chris Middleton, man. I ain't know you had it in you. He's been clutch as fuck. And it's not just in the end of the game, but it's just like, you need to stop a run. Chris Middleton hits you with a mid-range, a three, whatever. Like, the ugliest nigga, one of the ugliest niggas in the NBA, but that nigga got a Mr. Ed mouth like a motherfucker. Nigga, gums and teeth. But anyway, pause. But but yeah. And also, I just want to say DeAndre Ayton has to have one of the oldest faces in the league, too. That nigga looked 38, even though he probably like 21, 22.
Yeah.
And he just has that old face. But shout out to him, man. He's been impressive this year in this playoffs. I'm curious on what he'll be like when Chris Paul is no longer playing for them. Because I also think this is an anomaly, and Phoenix won't be back here anytime soon. I don't think they will. And I think they're a good team and very well balanced, one of the most balanced teams in the league. Actually, these two are both some pretty balanced teams. But in the next, like, 2 years or a year, Chris Paul's going to retire. And then, what, Cam Payne is going to lead y'all deep in the playoffs? Like, I've been thinking about that, too, even though I should be thinking about just this series. But I don't see Phoenix. Like, they'll be good and stuff like that. They'll make the playoffs and all that. But what happens when Chris Paul leaves and retires? Then what? It ain't like y'all going to have, like, some draft picks, some high draft picks to get a good point guard unless y'all lucky. So I'll be interested to see what they do moving forward. I also am interested to see if CP3 will come back if they win. I don't know if anyone's thought about that. I think he will, though. And I personally would, because I would want to try to defend my title, even though they have no chance of winning the title next year to me.
And that's why going out on top.
After everyone talk all this shit.
The career that he's had, this is the healthiest he's been in the playoffs.
Which is crazy because he has a shoulder injury, he has like a wrist thing, a lower body thing, and then he had COVID.
The healthiest he and his team, and I'll say it that way, because it wasn't him, it was Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
Every single time. So we're talking about what are the odds that after, what, 16th, 17th year in the league or whatever, what are the odds that in year 17 or 18 it's going to happen again? I don't even know if it's worth it now. If you want to talk about coming back for the love of the game, get every last drop you can out this game, I'm not mad at it. But if you want to go narrative talk or going out a champion, I think this is his best opportunity to do it if they close these last two games out.
I don't think they are going to, though.
I think game six, the Suns have to win because the NBA needs a seven-game series.
I think depending on how CP3 plays at the beginning will let me know if they're going to win this game. Because they could come out and be like, yo, we ain't losing this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Like 70% in the first quarter, 74% I think it was.
That shit was crazy, dude. Scored
38 points and then lost the lead in 5 minutes.
Dude, I got to work. I ain't going to say what time I got to work. I got to work. And they were busting their ass. And it was still the first quarter. I was like, God damn. And then I don't know if I stopped paying attention to my phone because I was watching on the ESPN app and shit. And then, like, I think I stepped out. Was like, oh, they were whooping their ass. I'll catch back up. Before I knew it, it was like an 8-point game. And then they were, like, right there. And I was like, damn. And then And then from there, it was just, like, back and forth. And the rest of the time, I kind of – I think I was rooting for the Suns because I'm good either way with either team winning. But I wanted it to go seven. But after that, I didn't have any confidence that they were going to win that game. Like, none at all. Like, after that.
Devin Booker gave him a hell of a run at the end of that game to – you know, and I think a lot of people are putting the last possession where he got the – foul or not the foul, he got the steal on, you know, and the Drew Holiday took it from him and, you know, lobbed it to Giannis. But look, man, that was a 4-point game. Giannis missed two free throws. He came down, no fear, straight up. Two dribbles, 3-1-point game. Giannis came down, missed two more free throws, and they got the ball. You know what I'm saying? Like that shit. I think Middleton missed a shot and they got the ball and came back down the other way. So I was like, yo, like he was playing with no fear. Like, and that's why we're never talking about the Kobe comparisons. Obviously, nigga, no, he's not Kobe Bryant because Kobe Bryant was all defense for like 10 years. Obviously, he's not defending like Kobe. That's not what we're talking about when we say he looks like Kobe. We're saying just the nigga comes down and he's giving niggas mid range buckets off the dribble in a variety of ways with no fear and he wants the ball at the end of the game.
Do you really think he plays like Kobe on offense? Because I would have never said that or thought that.
On offense?
Yeah, because I don't think so.
I mean, he kind of gives me the young, you know, Kobe vibes. Back when he was number 8. That little transitional period between when Kobe was between Shaq Pau Gasol.
You know, I always think of Devin Booker, and maybe I need to get out of it. I always think of him as Klay Thompson that dribbles more and can't play defense.
That's what I thought originally, because that's what he was coming out of college. That's how John Calipari was using him. Just because he had that was the year.
Yeah, that squad.
Yeah, that, like, platoon swap thing. And that's literally all he had doing. But, you know, John Calipari be holding niggas back. Like, Anthony averaged, like, 10 points a game.
Most college big-time programs, they hold the stars back. Even Dean Smith kind of helped.
Ridiculous. He has these niggas bought into the team aspect like a motherfucker. Like,
I mean, when you got, like, 3 top 10 draft picks and then a bunch of other dudes, you kind of got to.
I mean,
it's like the Olympic shit, or else what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? It's kind of, you kind of got to do that.
Oh, okay.
There's other stars that has happened to when they didn't have as much talent, and I'm with you on that because I've seen that at UNC a bunch.
Yeah.
And I know I've seen that Duke too. Like, seen it there, seen it a lot of places. And I'm like, dude. Yeah. So.
But like, I say that because that's how he was viewed, like, by people like me coming out of college. Mm-hmm. So Harrison stuck with him because they do have like a similar shooting form. Also, and you know, he's used as a spot up shooter, you know, move him around the floor, get him off of a screen, spot up. Mm-hmm. He's an option off of the pick and roll, someone else running the pick and roll. He's a spot up option, but then he gets to Phoenix, and you know, now he is their guy, and he's having to do more. And then, now that I see him doing more, I'm like, oh, nah, this nigga has a mid range game. Like,
he definitely does. Yeah,
he can take you from the wing and get the ball to the free throw line, stop, pivot, fade away,
mm-hmm.
and that motherfucker like a good 40% of the time, which for mid-range, that's pretty fucking good. You know what I'm saying? Like, high difficulty shots. I think that's where people say he looks like Kobe, because, you know, it's the degree of difficulty of the shots that he's hitting.
Yeah, he does have some explosiveness that I don't think Klay Thompson ever had, or at least never showed, or didn't show much. Well, that's where it comes with dribbling the ball, because it's like Klay doesn't have to do his thing. And normally when he does, I'd rather have him dribbling and trying to get to a spot than he doesn't have a crazy lift or anything like that. Whereas I think Booker is definitely more athletic than him.
Hey, look, them boys, Klay Thompson dribble like a Republican. I'll never forget that.
Yo, conservatively.
I think the Suns win game 6, bring it back to Phoenix for game 7, and it's a literal free-for-all from there.
Mm-hmm. And, the crowd involved, that's going to be a tough one. But, you know, champions rise to the occasion, all those cliches and whatnot. If Milwaukee's really – I feel like, yo, you're crazy to bet on any of these games. You're crazy to be betting on. I would never bet on this series, any game. Even this one, because I want to say Phoenix is going to come out there and do this, that, and the third. But even if they do, they did that shit last game, and look what happened.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So I think it shows a lot of mental strength from Milwaukee to take that fucking wave that they took. And then by the halftime, that shit was gone, dog. That shit was gone. Actually, it wasn't even by halftime. It was way before then.
Like, yeah, they went there. They were up by like 5.
Yeah, so – mental toughness, they show something to me. And if they win, Bud will be the worst coach probably to ever win a championship, because he should be fired. Even if they even though they got to the finals, he should be fired.
Yikes.
I don't think he's the coach for them. I don't. Now, some people say he's made more adjustments. Like, they were like, he put Drew Holiday on Chris Paul. Well, I would have started a fucking series like that, so I don't even understand that. And that's like a duh thing. Like, Chris Paul was busting y'all ass. I put my best wing defender on him, my best perimeter defender on him. That's not, as my drill sergeant, you say, this ain't fucking Socket Ryan's, all right? This ain't Socket Ryan's, all right? Which is rocket science, y'all get it. But anyway, like, it's not a fucking math equation. Like, it's pretty simple. You put your best defender on the ball handler and stop the offense from flowing. Like, yeah, that's pretty easy to do. And then when he's not in the game, or when he's playing garbage like he has been, you put him on the best perimeter player on the other team, Booker, and he did that. Like, that's simple shit. I'm sure he's done more adjustments, and, you know, I haven't been watching the series closely like that to sit here and pick him apart. But I know, and I've seen enough of his work to know that he ain't it. At least he wouldn't be it for my franchise. So that's what I got for the finals. I'm hoping that Phoenix wins. I want to say they will win. I would lean more towards that they will win because I don't think they're suckers like that or they're just going to lie down and lose four in a row. But who knows? They might. Hopefully it'll be a deciding game seven. I don't remember, other than the Cavs and Warriors, off the top of my head, I can't remember too many game sevens. I think the Heat had one.
The Heat, Spurs.
With Spurs, I remember that one.
It was the Lakers and Celtics. Okay. And before that was the Pistons and
Lakers.
Pistons and Spurs.
Oh, okay.
Game sevens in the finals have been few and far between in my lifetime.
Yeah, I see. On top of my head, I didn't even remember those to go to. And
before that, so, you know, fucking Spurs and Lakers dynasty shit. Like
yeah.
Game sevens don't be happening like that in the finals. I want to see that shit.
Yeah, me too. That's some pressure bust pipes type shit. I love to see it, man. Love it. I like it. It's good for the NBA. It's great that LeBron wasn't really in the playoffs. It's great that we got new faces. It's just bringing on the new wave of talent. Don't know whose generation this is going to be. I'm very interested to see who it will be, who will claim that or will give that to. Because KD is too much into his career for it to be like his era, I feel like. Like, maybe Giannis or anybody younger than him, because Giannis is only, like, 27, 26 or something. So, I'm curious to see who's going to take that. Because I'm a LeBron fan, but I'm good on him. I can't wait for him to retire. I've been saying it for, like, a year or two now, just because this has been interesting for once. You know what I'm saying? If LeBron was in the finals right now, I'd be like, yo, they're going to win. I don't care what's going on. They're going to win. As long as it ain't the Warriors, they gonna win. So, So yeah, man, I like what's going on in the NBA. I like these finals. I like both teams a lot. It's really hard to really root for one another. But I'm gonna go with home, with CP3 winning one. Shout out to my cousin Trey. He actually is a coach at his academy. I just found that out recently in the past few months. Little cousin worked for that CP3's academy and shit, working with kids and stuff. So, shout out to him. Shout out to CP3. Also rocking the HBCU attire too. Going to Winston-Salem State right now. And yeah, man, that's what I got, man. Any final words?
Hey, man, take your kids to see Space Jam 2.
Really? I've been hearing this actually was pretty good, even though I was like, why the fuck are they doing this? Who are they doing this for? Because my generation, at least me, I feel like we don't want to see it because we're not kids anymore. And then the younger kids, they don't have any connection to Bugs Bunny and all of them. And yeah, but
there's enough jokes in there
to make it cool.
Adults to get, especially if you're a basketball fan, if you're a LeBron fan, there's a lot of little references, taking jabs at himself. He's a good sport for it.
That's what's up, man. I'm going to check it out. Ryan Coogler, I fuck with him hard. So, pause. So, you know what? I think it's on HBO Max. I think I heard of that. So, if I can get someone's password, I'm not going to buy HBO Max just for that. That would be great. Throw it in the DMs or something. You know what I mean? At some point, I'm going to watch it. I'll watch it because I've heard enough people say that it was actually good. So,
yeah, it's only dick eaters out here saying that it sucks.
Okay. See, and Marcus is not like a LeBron. I wouldn't say he's not a LeBron fan. He's definitely not a stan. I think he appreciates his game like I appreciate Kobe's, even though I wasn't a Kobe fan. So if he says that, then it matters to me. So I'm going to check it out. I'm going to find a way to check it out.
I mean, everyone talked about the acting, but it's like Jordan was fucking terrible actors. It's not about the acting and shit, man.
It's definitely not about the acting for this shit.
Go fucking watch this shit with your kids. Get a little laugh here and there. maybe laugh at the acting. Maybe that's part of the comedy. Do you ever think about that?
Yeah. and I don't even remember Michael Jordan's fucking acting because I was a kid and I was watching it because of Michael Jordan, man.
Exactly.
And in the cartoons and shit. I heard, I don't know about the soundtrack. I haven't heard it yet. I don't know if it's dope, but the first Space Jam, this is how old I am, y'all. When the first Space Jam came out, one of my first CDs or cassettes, and cassettes are these little like tape things. We call tapes and stuff, and we put in a little thing and, you know, whatever. That was one of the first ones I bought on my own. Blockbuster Music, Jonesboro, Georgia. You know what I'm saying? I used to be a regular over there with my little allowance, my little $20 a month. You know what I'm saying? And I got the cassette because it was like $9.99 because the CD is like $15. You know what I'm saying? That's how old I am. But that was a dope soundtrack. Minus the, you know, pedophile on there. That was a really fire soundtrack. So I'm curious if I heard they put some money into this soundtrack. So I might check that out too.
Yeah, y'all go ahead and get that in with your kids, man. Let them experience it at least.
Yeah, man.
Without comparing, and y'all don't be weird about it.
Stop. Yeah, stop that, man. Come on, man.
But yeah, other than that, I'm good.
Hey, man, if y'all come down to Jacksonville, man, be safe. Niggas was out there shooting downtown. It's a dope place. I'm trying to tell people there's plenty of shit to do, regardless of if you meet someone from Jacksonville that said there isn't because they are jaded. But be careful down here, man. The stuff you see on the news and in the rap shit is real. There's a shooting on the other side of the shopping center of the gym I go to, and I live in the good part of Jacksonville. So, yeah, man. Y'all be safe for the summer because there's a lot of wild shit going on out here. You know, there's another variant of COVID or whatever. And y'all just be safe, but have fun, live life.
Yes, sir.
Chill.
We out. Podcast.
We out.